Welcome to the Purpose Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Visser, and this season is based on my book, Thriving, the Breakthrough Movement to Regenerate Nature, Society, and the Economy. Let's get to it. Degradation, the crime of ecocide. When I look at the Norfolk countryside of England around where I live, what I see is a degraded landscape, vast agricultural fields devoid of life, except for the single crops they grow, huge dust and mud pens where livestock are factory farmed, and a patchwork of trees that have been left in strips or small groves. What I am witnessing, and what is even more evident in cities, is the degradation of ecosystems. Nature's communities of life, which would normally flourish through symbiotic relationships in forests, grasslands, wetlands, lakes, oceans, and other habitats, have been eroded, and in some cases even eliminated. This degradation of our ecosystems has been underway for hundreds, perhaps even thousands of years. Historian Yuval Noah Harari, in his book Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, points out that humans are responsible for the extinction of megafauna, large animals, on virtually every continent on which they have set foot, from Australia and Europe to North and South America. Species such as saber-toothed cats, mammoths, giant ground sloths, lions, rodents, koalas, kangaroos, emus, and Native American horses and camels, all of which had flourished for tens of millions of years, disappeared shortly after humans migrated to their habitats. Sometimes this environmental destruction contributed to the demise of human societies as well. According to Jared Diamond, the civilizations of the Greenland Norse, Easter Island, the Polynesians of Pitcairn Island, the Anasazi of southwestern North America, and the Maya of Central America all collapsed at least in part because of environmental exploitation. This included deforestation and habitat destruction, soil depletion, water mismanagement, overhunting, overfishing, the effects of introduced species on native species, overpopulation, and the increased impact of each person. Other growing risks, such as human-caused climate change and the buildup of toxins in the environment, are more recent and may yet contribute to the collapse of civilization. These historical examples notwithstanding, we are without a doubt in a new phase of ecological destruction, both in terms of scale and speed. There is even a proposal to name a new geological epoch, the Anthropocene, an age where the geophysical and chemical conditions of Earth are being changed by humans. The atmospheric chemist Paul Crutzen and biologist Eugene Sturmer, who proposed the change, suggest the late 1700s as the start of the Anthropocene, pegging it to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution with James Watt's invention of the steam engine in 1784. It is also when the glacial ice cores show an increase in the concentration of several greenhouse gases, in particular carbon dioxide and methane. There is compelling evidence for the degradation of ecosystems by humans. For example, the 2019 Global Assessment Report from the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services finds that natural ecosystems have declined by 47% on average relative to their earliest estimated states. Approximately 25% of species are already threatened with extinction in most animal and plant groups studied. Biotic integrity, which is the abundance of naturally present species, has declined by 23% on average in terrestrial communities, and the global biomass of wild mammals has fallen by 82% since prehistory. The Living Planet Index, first launched in 1998 by the Worldwide Fund for Nature, WWF, and now managed by the Zoological Society of London, tracks more than 20,000 populations representing more than 4,000 species of mammals, birds, fish, reptiles, and amphibians from around the world. The recent findings show a 68% decline in these populations since 1970. We are literally committing ecocide. I used to think that word ecocide derived from suicide. After all, destroying the web of life will ultimately lead to our own demise. But now I think it's more accurate to link ecocide to homicide and genocide, killing on a mass scale. The worst part is, like the psychopath or genocidal maniac, we seem to lack empathy for our victims. To make sense of these and other statistics, the Stockholm Resilience Centre has provided a visual and data-based representation of our ecosystem risks by identifying 9 planetary boundaries. These are quantitative thresholds beyond which the risk of ecosystem breakdown increases dramatically. For 2 boundaries, biosphere integrity, including genetic diversity, and biogeochemical flows, notably of phosphorus and nitrogen, we are already in the high-risk zone. For an additional 2, climate change and land system change, we face increasing risk. Ocean acidification is nearing the danger threshold, while stratospheric ozone depletion remains in the safe zone. For chemical pollution and atmospheric aerosol loading, we do not yet have the necessary data to assess the risk. Depletion, the limits to growth. I grew up in the beautiful city of Cape Town, South Africa, which is nestled under the shadow of Table Mountain, fringed by white sandy beaches and surrounded by kaleidoscopic vineyards. Here it is easy to feel that you have discovered paradise on earth. Imagine the shock when in 2018 Cape Town announced that it was 3 months away from day zero, the day when the city's water taps would run dry. Fortunately, drastic measures were taken, citizens' behavior changed, and the crisis was averted for now. This is a stark example of the depletion of natural resources, and it is happening all around the world. We are using up non-renewable resources, such as groundwater, minerals, and fossil fuels, and consuming renewable resources, such as fresh water, clean air, fertile soils, and timber, faster than nature can replace them. There is no great revelation. We have known about the depletion of natural resources for decades. World Environment Day was first celebrated in 1972, a special year. The UN also convened its landmark Conference on the Human Environment in Stockholm, and the Club of Rome published its controversial Limits to Growth report. Together, these sounded the first of many severe warnings by scientists that the world is on a dangerous path and needs to change course. Yet it seems that, rather than the accumulated wisdom of hindsight, we have nearly 50 years of willful inaction. Can we turn a blind eye much longer? The trend of depletion of natural resources is most evident in the Great Acceleration, a set of socio-economic and ecological exponential growth charts. The 24 indicators of this planetary dashboard were first introduced by the International Geosphere-Biosphere Programme, in collaboration with the Stockholm Resilience Centre in 2004 and updated in 2015. They plot data such as economic growth, population, foreign direct investment, energy consumption, telecommunications, transportation, water use, the carbon cycle, the nitrogen cycle, and biodiversity. All reveal the same exponential growth pattern since 1950, slow at first but then rapidly rising. These are sometimes referred to as hockey stick curves because of their shape. Our addiction to growth and consumption has a double impact. We deplete resources and we increase waste and pollution. Since many of these resources are non-renewable, sooner or later they will run out or become too expensive to access. Technology goes a long way towards extending the life of these finite stocks, as we've seen with oil extraction from deep ocean beds and tar sands or natural gas fracking. But these all have their own negative economic, social, and environmental consequences. The same applies to the depletion of our healthy soils, natural forests, fish populations, minerals, and water. Water is a good illustration of the trend. Astronomer Carl Sagan's description of the Earth as a pale blue dot, and Sir David Attenborough's reference to our blue planet, allow us to conjure up images of a beautiful, watery home. But the impression that water is abundant on Earth is misleading. If all the world's water were gathered into a sphere, it would be 11% the size of the Earth. Fresh water would be 2%. And since 1900, fresh water withdrawals have increased sixfold. Already, the World Resources Institute estimates a quarter of the world's population faces extremely high levels of water stress, and MIT research predicts this may rise to 50% by 2050. The more resources we use, the more waste and pollution we produce. When we think of waste, we often think of trash, especially litter. And we tut-tut about the developing countries where communities and rivers are choked by plastic. At the same time, we conveniently hide or ignore the high consumption, throwaway lifestyles of middle and high-income consumers, which have far bigger impacts that are much more perilous for the planet. We must shine a light or turn a mirror on our own mountains of waste food, packaging, and products, which are conveniently out of sight, away from our clean streets, tidy offices, and serviced cities. In 2021, July 29 was Earth Overshoot Day, the day when our resource consumption exceeded the Earth's capacity to regenerate those resources in that year. This means that every year we go into ecological debt. To use a banking analogy, we start eating into our natural capital stocks rather than living off renewable interest. But then the metaphor breaks down. Financial debt comes with a price, punitive interest rates. These act as an incentive to avoid debt or to get out of debt quickly. With ecological debt, we lack that pain point. There are consequences, but we don't feel them directly or immediately, until we do. And then our worst imagined futures start to come true. Well, that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join me again next time when the story of Thriving continues. Just a reminder that if you don't yet have your copy of Thriving, you can get it at any retailer as an ebook, an audiobook, or a hardback. You may also be interested in the Thriving podcast, where I speak with various thinkers and practitioners of thriving and regeneration. You can find that by searching on your favorite podcast platform for Thriving the Breakthrough Movement. And finally, you might be interested in becoming a Thriving facilitator. If that sounds interesting to you, then do reach out and I can send you more information, or you can find it on my website, waynevisser.com. That's it for now, and we'll see you again next time. Hope you have a wonderful week.